we need somebody in Washington who's going to fight for these people and get things done. And I will point out, I didn't say at the beginning, I used to be a Republican. You know, up until 2016, I was a Republican.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks, I'm your host, Rick Wilson. As always, here at the Lincoln Project Podcast, growing faster than I have any right to expect because of the great response of folks like you in our amazing audience. I am delighted to be joined today by somebody you're going to hear a lot about this year. His name is Mike Davey. He is the Democratic candidate running in Florida's 27th district against a MAGA Republican who has been one of the worst. Not as prominent, perhaps, as MTG, but Maria Salazar has spent most of her time in Congress betraying the people she represents. And right now, she is working very hard for Donald Trump and against the people of the 27th district, which is in South Florida, which is in the Miami-Dade area. We're going to learn a lot more about that today. Talking to Mike Davey. Mike is a guy who he comes from a hardworking background. He put himself through night school at Harvard by working on dive boats. He is not a guy who is soft. He knows how to fight. He knows what he wants to do. And he knows the problems that are facing the folks in this district intimately and with a degree of give a damn that is sometimes missing in candidates who just want to run to run. And that's one of the reasons I really admire Mike. I think he's a terrific guy. Mike, I want to welcome you to the Lincoln Project podcast today. This is the question that I ask almost every candidate who comes on the show. Talk to me about what motivated you to take on an incumbent Republican in what is a not extremely, but fairly red district.
Well, thanks, Rick. I really appreciate you having me on. Basically, it comes down to she's not doing the job. She's not representing this district. And this district is critically in need of representation in Washington. We've got a lot of issues facing us. And she's just not doing the work. And I think what the catalyst for me was when she voted against the infrastructure bill and then tried to take credit for some of the money that came down here for critically important infrastructure projects.
She has been one of the worst in the House on standing silent during a time of extraordinary crisis for the district when it comes to folks who were here under temporary protected status from both Venezuela and from Cuba. Talk to us about why that has been such a profoundly disruptive issue for her and for the district, because the numbers are absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really is. It's a catalyst for change, if you will. I mean, people are starting to realize that she's not standing up for them. You know, she says the word. She's great on social media. She loves to talk. But she doesn't do the work. And the fact is, we've got not only Cubans and Venezuelans, we've got Nicaraguans, we've got Haitians in our community who are under attack. They've lost TPS, or they're going to lose TPS in the next few months. The humanitarian parole has been revoked. Now we just had Trump put the ban in effect for 12 countries, but also limits the possibility of people from Cuba and Venezuela who aren't legal permanent residents or U.S. citizens from coming into the country. And it's having a devastating effect. I will tell you, this morning I got a call from a Venezuelan client who wanted to know, what's the makeup of our community as far as immigrants. And I told him we don't keep statistics like that. But he started telling me, his workers are terrified. They're coming to work afraid. U.S. citizens are carrying their passports when they go to the store, when they go to work, because they're afraid of being picked up and being sent to El Salvador or Sudan. Or wherever else they decide they're going to send people from this country.
So, and Salazar, I mean, this is the irony of this. And it kind of reminds me of Marco Rubio, too. A guy who talks a big game about the horrible communist dictatorships in Cuba and in Venezuela, and yet is perfectly happy shipping people back to those horrible communist dictatorships.
Right. I couldn't have said it better. She has no problem with sending these people back to these terrible places, even though she's working hard to try and get change there. And I appreciate that we want to see Venezuela become democratic again. We want to see Cuba released from the tyranny of the communist regime. There's no question. We want to help those people.
Yeah.
but sending them back doesn't help.
That to my mind is the true like weird conceit here of Trumpism is the second you get in a race as a Democrat, they scream, you know, communist. And yet they're okay with being the largest exporters of people who fled communism and sending those folks back. Does Salazar, you know, the other day I noticed that I saw some flyer that was out there. She was like, oh, I'm having time in my district office and everybody should come and talk to me about your needs with U.S. Customs and Immigration. Who are you kidding, lady?
Well, and ironically, that was actually here on Key Biscayne.
Right.
I was in D.C., but she was here. And one of her representatives, one of her staffers was here. And ironically, one of her big supporters a few years ago was there because family members apparently of his had been picked up by ICE. And he was concerned. And justifiably so. He has the right to be concerned. It's what they're doing isn't right. It's un-American. It's the failure to use due process on these people and just the absolute disregard for their humanity. Look, we all want criminals who've come into this country to be removed. There's no question. We're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, there's no pro-criminal constituency.
Correct. But when you're sending out two-year-olds with cancer and you're picking up, you know, the guy, the hairdresser, and sending him to El Salvador because he had tattoos, I mean, these are not things. This is not what this country's about. My wife's an immigrant.
That was actually one of my next questions is your wife is from Peru legally.
Correct.
And you're, you know, she's a U.S. citizen now.
Correct.
But this, there's been a chilling effect, I think, even among U.S. citizens who've immigrated and naturalized. And it strikes me that this is increasingly a sort of, fear tactic being used by people in the Trump administration, in this DHS, this ICE, to try to make sure that even those people, like you said, they're carrying their driver's licenses to work, legal.
No, not driver's license.
Passports. So as you think about running for Congress, as you think about what you'll be doing in Washington, and look, it's a very good possibility the Republicans will lose the majority, and deservedly so. What's the kind of first principles things that you want to do in terms of helping this district on this front in particular?
Well, I think we need to revisit. Look, Senator Lankford put forward that bill back in January of 24, right? Had bipartisan support in the Senate, got through the Senate. And the reason it didn't get even heard in the House is because Trump didn't want it heard. He wanted to run on the issue in 24. And people like Salazar, who knew how important the issue is, who know how important the issue is to her constituents, she did nothing to push it forward. And so here we are, these poor people are in limbo, they're living in terror. I mean, people are afraid. I had somebody, US citizen, another Peruvian, who was telling me she went to some conference on an immigration and how to help immigrants as they're going through the process. And they were asking for volunteers to go to their hearings with these people. And they were asking her and she said, look, I'm brown. You know, I'm Hispanic. I don't want to go in there. I'm a naturalized citizen, but I'm worried. And what it's doing, it has a chilling effect on freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly. And that's not healthy for us.
So tell us a little bit more about your background and how you came up. You're Harvard grad. Talk to us about your journey here to becoming a candidate in this race.
So, yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I went to college for a little while, left college to go work on boats, worked as a diver down in the Caribbean, then went back, got a job just outside of Harvard. And I was told by it was a public policy research firm. And they said, look, if you want to advance, you need to finish your degree. Harvard had a night program, so I could go to Harvard at night. It was a great program. Again, one of those programs that was meant to help the employees and people who couldn't necessarily get a college education without the help. It was a great program. It was an amazing time to be at Harvard. After that, I went to law school, graduated because I was really interested in the Constitution. You know, the Constitution is an incredible document. It's a living, breathing document that's always evolving. Went to law school in New York. I'm from New York originally, and decided, you know what, I like the warm weather of Florida.
Well, so, look, I'm sorry, nobody from New York can run for office in Florida. It's just not allowed. Folks, that's a big joke because they often call Dade County, the fifth borough or the sixth borough of New York City.
Sixth borough of New York City. That's absolutely right. Proud of.
So your life experiences and your career, you have looked at, you know, this, you know, you benefited from the kind of things that a government that gives a damn about people engaged in. There's a big question right now, and this isn't like the number one federal issue for a lot of people, but in Florida, we have a burning crisis right now in affordability, and a lot of that stems from property insurance.
Correct.
A lot of that stems from the fact that our climate and our state are changing rapidly. A lot of your district is going to have to do a lot of mitigation.
Right.
No matter what you feel about climate change, folks, a lot of South Florida is about 1 foot above sea level, and that is not going to change anytime soon. It's going to rise, but it's not going to get better.
Right.
So, talk to me about how you're going to address, particularly the property tax or property insurance crisis, because it is something that at the state level, Ron DeSantis has refused to do anything about it.
Correct.
And there are a lot of people pushing for more state or more federal action on this. Tell me where you're at on that.
Well, you know, Representative Moskowitz put forward something last mm-hmm. session, talking about essentially having the federal government act as sort of the FDIC for reinsurance. I think it's 40% of your property insurance bill is the reinsurance. And so if we could bring that cost down, that's going to help consumers in that regard. And I'm all in favor of anything we can do to help all of the states, because it's not just Florida, right? We have flooding, we have hurricanes, but you've got the wildfires, you've got the flooding out in the Midwest, you've got tornadoes. So this is a national issue, is property insurance. And it's got to be addressed. But at the same time, you know, infrastructure, you talk about climate change and sea level rise, and we have to get going, you know, we have to get working on these things. And now is the time.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think you've got a lot of Republicans who have been very indifferent to this issue. And you know, they will occasionally like put out a press release like, oh, we should do something about this, and then, you know, the rule of the road in D.C. is the insurance industry is very powerful, and same in Tallahassee, and nothing happens. So I think if you are looking at this campaign, you ought to make sure that you're committing to the people of that district, that you're going to lead this charge, not just like
follow along. No, yeah. Look, we have to look. I was a mayor I was in office 12 years, right? And one of the things you can ask anybody in my community, I lead. I represent the people that I represent. I represent my constituents to the best of my ability, and I listen to my constituents. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, Independent. You're my constituent. I work for you. And that's what we need in this district. We need somebody in Washington who's going to work on these issues. And affordability is critically important. You know, the immigration issue is critically important to the people of my district. And these are things that we need leadership on, not just to sit back and take and maybe project mea culpas on social media because Trump hasn't listened to her on something. We need to get things done. And I'll work with whoever I have to work with to make things happen for the people of Miami-Dade.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show. Right, and talk to us more about your service as mayor, because I think that's something, that's the sort of job that as you just pointed out, it's not about Republicans or Democrats. If you're a mayor, you have to deal with the shit. You have to deal with the potholes and the streetlights and the nuts and bolts stuff that and
dogs on the beach.
Right. And that ideology has nothing to do with.
No. No, people just want things resolved. They want problems solved. And that's what you do as an elected official. And if somebody calls you, you know, to ask about how they organize a quinceañera on the beach, you respond. You try and guide them the best you can. We had COVID while I was mayor. And so we dealt with COVID. And how do you balance the needs of the businesses, the needs of the safety of the people, and just keeping them informed. You know, being a mayor is, I was at this conference, the Welcome Packs conference this week, and it was an amazing conference. And what people were talking about was localism, like really focusing, representatives need to be focused on the issues that are impacting their specific districts. And that's absolutely right. We've got to focus on the issues and work with whoever we can to resolve those issues and not get too partisan on things. We've got to work together. That's the problem. Government is not working for most Americans right now, and we've got to get it back on track.
I think that that idea of localism is one that is again, it goes back to like your experience as a mayor. It tells you, it informs you on how things, you know, can work better, because it has, you see much more immediate results than you do perhaps in a legislative position. When you do that, when you are in that box in Washington of, oh, I'm going to be here just with, you know, whatever the party leadership tells me I'm going to do, I'm going to be a good soldier and all that stuff. I think that there is a degree to which that is something you ought to, you know, on the front end, be ready to say no to.
I'm saying no to that right now. You know, look, I hold a lot of the ideals of the Democratic Party are ideals I hold. But if there's something that impacts my district, I've got to focus on a solution for the people of the District 27.
Right.
That's where my efforts have to be.
I think that's exactly the right attitude to take, because there is a degree to which Democrats are looked at by a lot of voters as ineffective or feckless or follow the leader, and that has been killing the party in a lot of ways, in districts where they should be winning, and it lets Republicans play culture war games, that ordinarily would be laughable, but they convince a lot of people with those culture war games. So what, as you go forward in this district, you're going to get, they're going to try to box you in the way they always do, and put you in there in the culture war. You know, they're going to try to say this election is all about trans athletes and illegal alien criminals. And Mike Davey is in favor of girls in sports and soft on illegal alien criminals. Talk to us about where you are on these two questions, because I think that they are stupid ideas that are kicked out there a lot, but nonetheless they are there a lot inside the Republican universe, and you're gonna have to answer for those when they get crazy out there.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, the trans is it's a non-issue. I mean, trans people are people, right? They're people. And so these attacks on them, I think there are, I forget what the number, but it's something ridiculously low in the number of trans people in high school sports. And I think there are 10.
Yeah. It's literally like less than a dozen or something.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we're spending our time on. They have rights to, you know, let's let the leagues set the parameters by which they determine how somebody's going to compete.
Right.
But that's not an issue we should be on. And immigrants, yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If they are criminals, we want them out of the country. There's no question. Yeah. But due process has to be followed. I mean, we are not following the rule of law in the United States of America, and I never thought I'd say that.
Which is, you know, it's like the rule of law isn't being followed at
any level,
at the highest possible level of government, much less anything below that tier. There's a widespread lawlessness. What do you say to people who look at this district and say, man, it's really hard behaviorally. Cubans are, you know, they've gotten more conservative. The you know, this area is wealthy. It's gotten more Republican, more conservative. What do you say to people that make that argument?
Look, people want good government. You know, I think in 12 years, I think I've shown that I work for the people who put me in office, and that's what you do. And I want a district. Like my village is 68% Hispanic. I ran against a well-regarded, well-liked, I like him. He's a friend, a Cuban-American who'd been here 50 years. But I put forward the best ideas and the best plan of action for this village moving forward on issues like resiliency, sustainability, cost of living. And we won. We won by 10 points. So it's getting out there. Look, people want to be heard. They want to be talked to. They don't just want to be campaigned at. They want to know that you are listening to them and you're understanding their issues. There's a lot of areas that I'm going to go into. You know, we've got these super red areas. I'm going to go talk to the people. I'm going to go sit down at Versailles and have a cafecito and talk to the people who are there about what's driving them. I have my ideas. You know, immigration's an issue. The economy's certainly an issue. These tariffs are terrible for us. And crime, we've got to resolve crime.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
I mean, Miami has this district and the Miami Metro, it has such unbelievable potential in this world right now.
Yes.
That it is a shame that so much of the political dialogue down there for years was, okay, Democrats are all communists. And therefore we can ignore them. But I think you've got a chance to go into that. I think you're right. You got to go where the votes are. You got to go into the red parts of the district, because I do think there is a spreading sort of cancer of this immigration story, that it's hard for a person like Salazar to say, I've been fighting for the families in my community, when she's perfectly happy to see a lot of the families in her community broken up. And family members who were here under legal TPS status,
correct,
ejected from this country.
That's right. These people had work permits, but now their work permits are gone, and now they don't know what to do. I'm hearing. I think I told you. I had a client call me asking about the immigration. He's worried about his workers. He's worried about them losing their permits to be able to work in this country. And that's, you know, we're talking about people. These are not millionaires and billionaires. These are working people who are working maybe 18, 20 bucks an hour. And now you're taking that away from them, and now you put them on the run. I mean, it's really sad when I think about it. It's tearing this district apart. We need somebody in Washington who's going to fight for these people and get things done. And I will point out, I didn't say at the beginning, I used to be a Republican. You know, up until 2016, I was a Republican.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, I know. I pretty well. I think I met you in 2018.
Yeah.
And look, I was so happy to find you, because I was looking for former Republicans who were tired of this. You know, people, the Republican Party unfortunately bent the knee to a tyrant or a wannabe tyrant. And I couldn't do that. I believe in the teachings of Lincoln, of Teddy Roosevelt, of Nelson Rockefeller, of Dwight Eisenhower. Those are good, decent human beings who are looking out for their fellow man. And we've lost that here with the Republican Party.
We have lost a lot of that, and we have, and unfortunately, it is going to take a lot more. It's going to take a lot more candidates, folks out there that are like Mike Davey, that are willing to go out and not just run the cookie cutter Democratic Party Central Committee playbook. And Mike, I think you're absolutely going on the right track right now. I think you need to be just out there as much as humanly possible and unafraid, right, you know, of the culture war garbage they're going to throw, because all that stuff is just bullshit in the end.
It is. It's crap.
They know it too.
It has no bearing. It really does. It has no bearing on their day-to-day lives, right?
Correct.
I mean, they're making up stuff. They're creating the other, and that's been through history, right? You create the other to focus. We're not to blame. The government that's been giving corporate tax cuts at your expense, we're not to blame. It's the trans people. It's the immigrants who are coming in, and it's nonsense. It's not true. And we need to get back to solving the problems that everyday Americans are facing.
One of the big industries that has sort of popped in Miami in the last few years is the whole crypto space. And there's an assertion that all Democrats hate crypto. Talk to us about where you're at on crypto, particularly because it is a big and emerging part of the Miami economic landscape.
Yeah, no, look, I think a well-regulated, you know, I'll quote the Second Amendment to a certain degree, a well-regulated crypto can be very helpful. I think there is a future for cryptocurrency, and I think we've got to make sure that we're doing it right and it's not misused. But I'm in favor of it.
Great. That was just one of those things that I was talking to some other people in Miami recently, and they're like, you know, even people who don't understand crypto in Miami now look at Miami as the crypto capital.
Yeah,
and they it's become a voting issue for people who even aren't in the industry sector. But now they sort of perceive Miami as having that as a big part of the economic intermix in Miami.
Absolutely. So. I just actually was on the phone with somebody today trying to do they wanted to do a real estate deal, and they're asking, how do you use crypto? I said, you know, so we're going through it. It's a learning process on crypto.
Sure. So, Mike, tell folks how they can follow your campaign, where they can reach you on social media, and how they can get involved.
Well, look, Rick, I appreciate it. It's MikeDaveyForFlorida.com is my website. You know, as you know, these things take a lot of money to
run.
Do. We need the funding. We're going to be, they're going to fight like hell to keep this seat. And I'm the challenger. I do have a primary opponent. So I got to get through my primary next August, but, I feel pretty good about that. Eric Swalwell, I got a bunch of people in DC who are helping out.
I was literally on with Eric Swalwell right before I got on this call with you.
All right, cool. No, great guy. And yeah. You know, it's everybody wants to see this district come back. Look, we had Ileana Ross Layton back in the day. We had Donna Shalala, and now we've got Salazar, who's just not doing the job, and that we need somebody in Washington. But I'm Mike Davey for 27 on Twitter. I've been a little busy watching the Musk Trump stuff.
Guilty as charged.
I don't have enough popcorn at this point.
No, there is not.
But MikeDaveyForFlorida.com is the website. We really appreciate your help. If folks want to volunteer and if folks want to meet me, everybody in the village has my cell phone, but the fact is I want to get out. I want to talk to voters one-on-one. I want to hear from people. I'm going to a hairdresser salon next week to talk to some folks in the community because, they're the ones who are directly impacted. Small business owners, immigrants. These are the folks I want to hear from because their stories are incredible. And they are the ones, when you're helping somebody plan a quinceañera from their 15-year-old daughter, or you're helping somebody get through an employment issue here on Key Biscayne, there's a worth to that, right? There's something
100%.
Tangible and you're making a difference in somebody's life. And that's what it's supposed to be a public servant, to be an elected official, is you're making positive change in the lives of others. And that's what we have to get back to.
I think it's 100% correct. Folks, follow Mike Davey. I would strongly recommend you watch this campaign because this is an area of the state and the country that has been hit hard by the immigration and tariff war that's been waged by the Trump administration. And a lot of the targets have been folks who are here legally and who are the backbone of those communities down there. And it's a race, I think, that's going to speak to a lot of those bigger issues that also have national salience. Mike Davey, thank you for coming on the Lincoln Project podcast. My friend, we'll have you back again.
I appreciate it, Rick. You have a great day.
You too.
The Lincoln Project podcast is a Lincoln Project production.
Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.